Luke 13:22-30. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has risen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' And he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." In this section of Luke's gospel, Jesus seems to be beginning to tighten the reins a little bit, to focus, challenging those of us who are listening to him. At the beginning of chapter 13, the chapter that we are looking at today, Jesus recounts the story of a man who tells his gardener to cut down a fig tree that isn't bearing any fruit. The fig tree, of course, being a symbol of the people of Israel. So a people that are no longer bearing fruit. Then in the same chapter, Jesus heals a woman bent over for 18 years on the Sabbath. The synagogue, seeing Jesus healing on the Sabbath, becomes indignant with Jesus. But as the gospel says, the Lord replied, "You hypocrites! Every one of you unties his ox or his donkey on the Sabbath and leads it out of the barn to give it water. And here you have a daughter of Abraham who Satan had bound for 18 years. Should she not be freed from her bond on the Sabbath?" So Jesus is laying his cards down on the table in this part of the gospel. "Look, folks," he says, "this kingdom of God thing that I've been talking about is not just a bunch of people sitting around a stick of incense saying, 'Wow, isn't this awesome to feel this spiritual energy? Isn't it great to know that we are all God's holy people?' This is like the real thing, a total hallelujah experience." No, that's not what following Jesus is about. The reign of God, as today's gospel points out, is about following Jesus through a narrow gate. What is this narrow gate? What is this all about, this following of Jesus? Way back in chapter 5, we found ourselves on the banks of the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Galilee, Sea of Galilee, where Jesus called Simon and his companions to follow him, and they left everything, it says. In the same chapter, a little bit later, Jesus walks by Levi, the tax collector, known also as Matthew. Jesus says, "Come and follow me." And the gospel says he left everything and followed Jesus. In chapter 6 of this same gospel of Luke, Jesus gathered with the 12, came down from the mountain, and preached the Beatitudes, the sermon, famous sermon of Jesus. "Blessed you who are poor, yours is the kingdom of God." And then there was last Sunday's gospel. Do we remember that? Chapter 12. Jesus saying, "I have come to bring fire upon the earth. Do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? No, rather division." And now, today, chapter 13, right in the middle of a section of Luke's gospel dedicated to Jesus' teaching on the kingdom of God, the reign of God, Jesus says, the door leading into this life with God, this reign of God, is a narrow door. Do your best, he says, to enter through that door. It's tough teaching these days. This is not a mamby-pamby Praise You Jesus 101 course. This is the gospel. Jesus is saying that those who live the Beatitudes, that is, the holy life of the reign of God, are the ones who are willing to risk everything and enter the narrow gate. That's why he says that many, I tell you, will attempt to enter but will not be strong enough. This following of Jesus requires a deep inner strength. And Jesus makes it very clear, you can't have your cake and eat it too in this following of Christ. This is basically what Jesus is preaching in this section of Luke's gospel. Either your fig tree produces fruit, produces figs, or it's cut down. Tough words. This is not cheap grace, to use Bonhoeffer's phrase. Remember, Levi didn't pack up his tax collector's cash register and bring it along with him. He left everything and followed Jesus. Three chapters ago in Luke, we had the parable of the Good Samaritan. Three people saw the man lying half dead in the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. The priest and the Levite glanced from a distance and then kept on walking. They had to get to the temple in Jerusalem to do their religious things. Only the Samaritan saw the man and, moved with compassion, drew near him and treated his wounds. Three fig trees, but only one of them produced any fruit. And we know what Jesus thinks about fig trees that don't produce fruit. As we hear in the gospel today, after the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. I do not know where you are from, he'll say. And you'll say, but we ate and drank in your company and you taught in our streets. I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers. And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves left out. Jesus' call to come and follow him is not a trip to Disneyland. So why follow Jesus? Anybody studying today's scriptures, anybody who's going to preach on today's gospel, has to ask the question, where then is the good news in this story? Did Jesus only come to bring division, to close doors, to cut down fruitless fig trees? Is grinding and gnashing of teeth about all we have to look forward to? Ah, let us not forget the last part of today's gospel. If we peek in behind that narrow gate, we can glimpse something quite breathtaking. On the other side of the narrow gate, says Jesus in today's gospel, is a large banquet table. As the gospel says, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets will be at the kingdom of God. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. This is where today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah can help us. As we heard in chapter 66 of Isaiah, thus says the Lord, I come to gather nations of every language. They shall come and see my glory. They shall bring all your brothers and sisters from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots, in carts, upon mules and dromedaries, to Jerusalem, my holy mountain, says the Lord, just as the Israelites bring their offering to the house of the Lord in clean vessels. The reign of God, then, is like a large banquet table filled to overflowing with people from all nations, everyone contemplating the glory of God. So it seems that we have our answer to the question that someone asked Jesus in today's gospel. Will only a few people be saved? Jesus does not say that only a few will be saved. The banquet table of the reign of God, in fact, is filled with people from every nation on earth. So what's going on here? What is this narrow gate thing really all about? At this banquet table, says Jesus, some of the last will be first, and some who are first will be last. As I stand here today, peering in behind that gate, I can see Levi, the tax collector, for example. I see the woman who was bent over for 18 years, standing tall with a lovely smile on her face. I can see the man left for dead on the road, and I see the Samaritan who stopped to heal his wounds. I see some folks I never dreamed I'd see at that table. And there are a few that I was expecting to see who seem to be nowhere in sight. The good news? The good news for me is that the narrow gate is open. It's open to all. We don't have to wait to die to go through that gate. The banquet is not only in heaven. It's here on earth as it is in heaven. All we have to do is walk through the door. The priest and the Levite on their way to the temple, the ones who glanced ever so quickly at the man left for dead on the road, haven't showed up yet for the great banquet. I guess they have other more important things to do. The gate is narrow, but it is open. All one has to do to follow the footsteps of Jesus and go inside is to take the first step, to say yes, to have the strength to accept the challenges of walking through the gate. I think I'd like to enter myself. I hope I have the courage to do so. Won't you join me?